Today's episode is brought to you by Emco Beauty. Affordable, luxe for less, and cruelty-free beauty with every product under $50. Amazing, right?
We don't have time for this. We'd like to acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land where we make this podcast, the Garigal and the Gayamagal people. We pay our respects to all First Nation elders, past, present, and emerging.
Hey, bestie.
Do you know what I don't have time for?
Oh my god, I love this podcast so much, you guys.
Hey, best. Hi, Jim. Hey, Jim.
Do you know what I don't have time for this week?
Imposter syndrome.
I love support.
What do I do with that?
Thank you.
Hello and welcome to Bestie Hotline.
Bring, bring.
I'm your host, Kate Reeves.
And I'm Gemma Peanut.
And we are here this Friday to hear your dilemmas. Bringing your life dilemmas and problems to your besties here who will attempt to, but almost never solve them.
Ever, you might say.
You could call us the worst advice hotline in the world.
Hunji P, but you know what we provide?
What?
A safe space.
Yes.
A judgment-free space. A space to hear you out.
Yeah. That's right.
We're your shoulder to cry on.
Every day, girlfriend. Now we've got the good vibes out of the way.
Yes.
We have a dilemma today that was a write-in.
Yes.
An anonymous write-in. They weren't comfortable voicing their dilemma, which we understand. This year, 2024, we're making space for that. Okay. We used to say send us a voice note and we still love to hear from you.
We respect people's need for anonymity when talking about particularly messy and tricky subject matters.
You know what else? Sometimes it's the 4 a.m. thinkies, you know, and you can't just do a voice note. You're breastfeeding a baby or you're whatever. And you might just want to jot it down. A-OK with us.
Totally.
Luckily, we have a trained actor on staff and she can do
a dramatic read.
A dramatic read of your dilemma. Jem, could you read out our beautiful DL's dilemma for us this week?
I certainly can. Our DL says, you know what I don't have time for? What having kids does to your marriage. Help me out, DLs. This anonymous poster is feeling super vulnerable. We've been together 10 years, married 6. Love of my life pre-kids. Kids are 3 and 1. Now, I just feel rage and hate on him all the goddamn time. It's got to the point where we both admitted we were really unhappy and it escalated to talking about if we need to separate. And I feel so confused. Is it normal to hate your partner's guts when deep in the trenches? I actually think he's an amazing father and an all-round good person, but I am sick of how I am always the one to do everything all the time. We have great communication and we have talked it out to death, but nothing changes, i.e. I've written lists for him to do, etc., etc., but I think it's just impossible as it's never done right, and so I end up doing it all myself. And then in brackets, I can see how that's not fair and I've got shit to work on myself. He says he will never be able to be the person I need him to be.
Ish.
And to round it out, she says, I guess I'm looking for a gauge of totally normal, wait till the kids are older, or am I drawing out a process that's unhealthy? We don't raise our voices, etc., so the kids aren't in an overtly unhappy home, but they do hear me being nagging and mean, which I feel so much shame about. If you've read this far, thank you.
Oy, okay.
It's a big one.
There's a lot in this. I think we need to say up top, I've said this many times before, as I have declared, I get a lot of DMs of people asking me to diagnose their marriage as viable or dead. And I cannot do that. In fact, nobody can do that except the people in the marriage or, you know, both of you have to decide to stay and stick it out and that it's got enough for you to be worth it. Or one of you or both of you have to say, this is not sustainable or what I want to be in anymore. So we have to say that up top. Because there's no way Jem and I or anyone could be like, leave or nope, stick it out, wait. Like, we can't give that kind of definitive diagnosis.
No, we definitely can't. And there would be additional layers that we're not privy to that our DL hasn't shared. Circumstances, for example.
A lot of things I'm hearing though. First of all, love of her life pre-kids.
Yeah.
Big deal. Like,
huge.
Big, big deal and important thing to not throw away. She's obviously not throwing anything away. She's just in a process.
But this is why she's confused as well, is she also called out that he is a good father and an all-around good person. But there's just a tension here with the raising of the kids and what comes with that is the added domestic labor, the mental load, all of that additional stuff that absolutely nothing prepares you for when it comes into stepping into the world of parenthood. It shocked me.
Mm-hmm.
It shocked you.
All of us. Mm. And we've said this before, you don't know what kind of parent your partner is going to be until you're parenting together.
And
I want to add on to this, you don't know what kind of partner your partner is going to become when there's the additional stress of children in your lives.
But I also have to add to that, Revzy, you don't know what kind of parent and partner you're going to be.
Mm-mm.
Until you are deep, deep in it.
That's right. And you can't foresee the things that are going to, like, it would be great if we could all do a course and just like prepare our relationships and buttress them against the stresses of parenthood, but it's just not how it goes. The thing that tweaked my ear was that they're in communication. So that's so positive, right? Like that gives them the best chance of surviving this. The fact that they can talk about it and even the fact that they can float, do we need to separate? Mm. I think shows deep respect, deep love and good communication that might mean they make it, you know?
Mm.
Because I certainly was not in a position when I was married, and I'm pretty sure my ex would say the same, where we had that level of like, truly, can we really communicate on where we are, you know? Mm. And I take full responsibility for not being good at that, you know, when I was in it. So that was like, oh, okay, so that's really positive. The other thing though that caught my ear was he's telling me he can never be the man I need him to be. And she's saying I'm naggy and I'm mean, I'm making lists, but then he never does it right. The picture that's coloring in for me is like she wants it a certain way and he's like, fuck, I'll never live up to your high, high standards. That's the toxic end of both of the things. So the challenge for me, and something I would urge them to look into and try and isolate, like if she loves him, he's a good dad, love of her life, all those things, park your feelings for a sec and maybe there's some work to do on how can we step up and let go for each other. He needs to step up. It's very clear. He needs to step up in the domestic labor and support her as a co-parent, or he's going to be just a co-parent.
Mm.
Like he really needs to get that seriousness into his head that she is saying, you're going to lose me. We're going to lose this family unit if you don't step up. And he needs to feel the weight of that. And she, I want to say, needs to learn a bit of surrender and that near enough is good enough. And that if he can put the effort in to meet her, she almost needs to come down to the same point of standards for a bit and try and relinquish the sort of boss mum role and just try and let him help her in his own way.
Yeah, he can't get away with not contributing or helping in the household and with the kids in any way. That's
and he can't throw his hands up and say, well, I'm not going to do it how you like it, so why even try? That's infant behavior.
It is.
Yeah.
I agree with you, Rebs. I think there's hope that they can meet in the middle because from listening to friends or other DLs in the Facebook group, there's definitely a percentage of partnerships where there is no communication. And I do think where there is no communication, there is no hope, only doom.
Mm.
Because how do you work around your issues?
Mm.
There's also a percentage of people who skirt. Yeah.
Old
like
me.
That's Revs. Like she skirted around it. She kind of patched the holes, but the holes were still there. The rug was very lumpy.
Lumpy fucking
and
rug.
Just, you know, tried to ignore it. But if you can communicate, it means you're literally airing out your issues, which is the most important thing in a relationship.
That old saying, a problem shared is a problem halved.
It is.
Is so fucking real. Yeah. And it's taken me, I think I was like 36 when I was like, oh,
yeah,
that's real.
Yeah, it is. I think the tricky thing for our DL as well is it's the fork in the road.
Mm.
And she will have examples of both.
Mm-hmm.
She will have actually more than just two examples. It forks out probably
four,
into
four. Five ways, yeah.
Yeah, where someone has made the decision to leave and it worked out better.
Mm-hmm.
Or someone has made the decision to leave and then they were confronted with absolute hell on fire, toxic husband, and walked a path of absolute destruction and said, it's not worth it.
Yeah.
And then you have people who have stayed, but then stayed miserable. And then you have people who have stayed.
And it
then,
came good.
And it came good.
Yep.
So when you're offered this buffet of choices, it's like, well, what's the right choice for me?
Mm-hmm.
And to go back to what we were saying about how you have no idea what kind of parent or kind of partner your partner is going to be when you're in the trenches of early parenthood, it really is that leap of faith, isn't it? Someone can be the love of your life, but then you can be so mismatched in the early years of parenthood and you have to look to the future because there will be a time when you become empty nesters. There will be a time when your kids don't need you. And can you see yourself long-term with this person still? Do you have enough in common with them that keeps keeps you in it.
Mm. And can you survive the resentment years?
Yes.
Let's just call it what it is. Yeah. Because you may love someone and yeah, maybe there will come a time when it gets easier. But is that just saying, well, he didn't have to step up as much so I could love him again because I wasn't so fucking disappointed by him so regularly? You know, like these years, yes, they can evaporate and you can hold hands and look at each other and be like, wow, we weren't our best selves then, were we? I'm glad we made it through. Or it could be like, you know what? You just weren't fucking there for me. And I'm finding it really hard to get over it. Like I needed you and you weren't who I needed you to be. Yeah. Despite me communicating and asking for what I need, you weren't able to be that guy.
Totally.
And you know, what other challenges are we going to face? And are you going to be able to be my partner in those challenges?
And speaking of resentment, long term, that can erode at your love to a point of no return.
Yes, it can.
And I think when observing your relationship, yes, there will be so many examples of stories of people who are like, you know what? I'm proud of our relationship and our marriage that we fought through the hard years. Mm-hmm. There's definitely examples of that. But I think what you have to note and be aware of, and I'm not giving advice on this at all, it's just food for thought, I suppose, is when you're in a situation where you can list the good qualities of your partner, and harking back to that idea of hanging on to hope, can you step back and say the good still outweighs the bad?
100%. That's
because
great.
When the bad is outweighing, when you really draw up a list, like, you know, we talk about mental load lists, can you list the positives in your relationship? My husband and I, we've gone through this struggle with parenting where we are not bringing our best selves to each other. It's like other people outside of our relationships get the best versions of us, but we're not giving each other the best. Mm. Where we have to step back and still choose each other every day. And do you have those moments? Maybe it's on a weekend. Maybe it's when you're on holidays together. Maybe it's that time when the kids are finally in bed and it's that hour before bed where you can seek out connection with each other and go, hang on, I still like you. I still love you. I still choose you. And is that worth fighting for? Mm. If you don't feel that way about a person, or if you really write down your list and you're like, actually,
I'm struggling.
There's not a lot of redeeming qualities of yours that I'm enjoying, or I kind of don't want to be in your orbit anymore, that you've got to kind of really look at that, mm-hmm. I think. Because while my husband and I go through the very normal hardships of parenting and feeling like flatmates, where you feel a bit disconnected, the thing that always brings me home to him, and I think him home to me, is we know that when we are without children, because there will be a time, what were our favorite things about each other pre-kids? And I know that that's coming for us again.
And when you get down those snatches of time, you still see them there.
I do.
They haven't left. You know, those qualities that you loved are still there. Mm. That's pretty important, because the other part of this is people do change.
They do.
People change.
You either grow together or grow apart. That's a very real thing.
Is
okay.
And no one's fault.
Yeah.
And you can blame yourself for growing and evolving away from someone.
I don't think blame is the right word. I think it's acknowledging or just being accountable or taking responsibility that actually I've changed, I've grown, I've evolved, and that's not your partner's fault. It's also not your fault.
I think that can be easier said than done. I held a lot of guilt because I was the person who left the marriage, who made the decision. I held a lot of guilt and still do in a lot of ways that, like, I'm the one who did this to us all, you know, I made the choice. And yeah, I have all my reasons and I'm at peace with a lot of it, but like, it still was me, you know, and there is guilt with that because you are doing that to your kids, to someone else, and ultimately to yourself as well. So it's not straightforward, but it is important that we say that people change. And it's okay if he's changed. It's okay if you've changed. Yeah, like you said, it's the acknowledgement that it happens and you can grow apart. And as hurtful as that can be for everybody involved, it is very real. Ad break.
Got to keep the lights on.
Hey, Jem, want to play a game?
Do I ever not want to play a game?
Okay, if you lost your makeup bag, what are the 3 MCO Beauty products you would immediately repurchase?
Flawless Glow Luminous Skin Filter.
Okay, they didn't even hesitate.
Well, it's my first step. Primer, concealer in one.
And it creates that dewy finish that we love.
Okay, so number 2 would be the Super Glow Bronzing Drops.
Knew it, called it.
I mean, I love the sun-kissed bronze look, obviously. Especially as we're going into the cooler months, Rebsy.
It's so hydrating.
Yep. And my last pick would be
Extend Lash Mascara.
Ah, of course. My fave.
Well, it's everyone's favorite tubular mascara, actually.
So DLs, head into Chemist Warehouse, Woolworths, Big W, or jump online to mcobeauty.com to stock up on all of their cult faves.
And check out their new products today. She said, like, we don't openly fight, so it's not like an awful place for the kids to be. It's not like she's like, I've got to get my kids out of this toxic environment. Mm. I want to talk about this because I think, and I'm not talking about my personal situation here, I'm just talking about, you know, in our stage of life, things we've observed, things I've learnt, is that sometimes it is easier, and nothing's easy, but easier to leave a toxic situation if it's really obvious it's bad. Mm. There are insidious things that are bad for kids. There is silent treatment, lack of love, lack of passion. I don't mean sex and stuff. I mean like verve for life, vim and verve, you being your full self.
Yeah.
I know I would not want my kids to grow up with me being the lackluster version of myself. Yeah, I certainly didn't want to put my kids through the year or two where I was like a mess coming out of divorce. And I think we just got through that without them seeing too much of that. But I do know that my kids now have versions of their parents that are much more aligned to who they really are, that are passionate, that are dedicated to rebuilding their lives in a really intentional way. That's positive.
Yeah.
And I just think sometimes a family is broken in that it just doesn't fit anymore because of growth and change or whatever. And because it doesn't bring out the best versions, like it doesn't sound like it's bringing out the best version of him necessarily and potentially her too. It doesn't mean they can't find that version in the family they're in now. Doesn't mean you have to blow it all up and start again, but there needs to be some intentional work done here from both of them.
Absolutely.
And if I had to be really judgy and really intuitive about this DL's dilemma, it sounds to me like she's working her ass off to try and not only keep the family going, get everything done, but try and still love him and show up and ask of him what she needs and all these things. I'm getting hints of defeatism from him. And he needs to realize just what's on the line here and step up and meet her level of effort. And then other things like those feelings of you're my true love might come back when she sees the effort that he's making for her.
Can we talk about her kids' ages? 3 and 1. I don't know. Yeah. I don't want to be like, hang on there. The grass is greener. It gets
because it's going to get harder before it gets easier.
It does get harder, but I've got a 4 and a 5-year-old. I don't say this smugly at all, but I am officially out of the toddler years. There has been a shift for my husband and I where we're like, oh, everything's just gotten a little bit easier in terms of the day-to-day domestic physicality of being needed all the time for everything. And what I mean by that is both my kids are out of nappies. Both of them can take themselves to the toilet.
They can put their shoes on. They can feed themselves.
Yes.
Yeah.
And just removing those things has given my husband and I a little bit of ourselves back.
Yep.
It's so minute, but I can feel it because I look at like your sister Revs and I'm like, whew, that is a rough
You couldn't
season.
Pay me. No. You couldn't pay me to go back.
I don't want to go back there. Yeah. You know, we're getting out of the house is a shit fight every single time. You got to dress them. They don't know how to dress themselves. You got to brush their teeth for them even. Just all those
shoes
little
on.
Micro things.
Yeah. Then put the song on quickly before there's a scream. And then the cacophony of sound.
I'll never forget when Show Daddy said in the episode where he interviewed him that a big game changer is when you can get in the car and just sort yourself out.
Everyone gets in the car and puts their own belts on.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm not there yet, but I can see how that micro value add to your life just allows you to exhale and breathe where getting in the car isn't fighting with the straps of the car. Like it's all those tiny little things that add up that send you to the brink of insanity.
Yeah. Well, what is a day? A day is just a series of little moments stacked on top of each other.
Totally.
And if you looked at them and like you put all the stressful, overstimulated moments as red and you put all the breathe moments as green, when your kids are that age, your day is red with a few little green seconds. And even then, there's not enough for you to decompress.
And who are you going to take it out on?
The person closest to you who's not helping enough.
Yes.
You know, if he could replace some of her red blocks with green blocks and it was an even stack or even more even, it might, I don't know. I'm not trying to blame him.
No,
I'm
totally,
not putting all the blame
totally.
On him.
But I want to say to our DL as well, because she said, I've given him lists, et cetera, et cetera, and nothing gets done. So obviously lists don't work for him.
Yeah, let that go.
Could she sit down to him and say, what works for you to achieve X, Y, and Z? And to be as blunt, and I know we talk about this all the time, but it just feels relevant. It's like literally writing down everything you do and everything he does in this situation and getting the balance back and saying, okay, I don't want to nag you. I don't want to write you a list. It's not working. It hasn't worked. You've told me it's not working. You told me I can't be. I don't want you to be anyone, but what I do need is support with bringing our kids into the next season of life.
Yep.
Help me out. Mm-hmm. You tell me.
How are we going to tackle this?
Yes. You know, I say to my husband sometimes, I really feel like I'm throwing him under the bus, but I guess I can share these stories because it's hope that they can change and improve. And I do think I give men of our generation, like millennial dads especially, a bit of rope because, gosh, what was modeled to them were very absent dads that weren't involved much. So I'm generous with him about that. But then I say, well, I expect more from you now. And it's finding the language that works for them. So with my husband, it could be the smallest thing, right? Like, it's going to make me sound really high maintenance and crazy, but I have a system in the wardrobe of where he hangs his suits on what particular hangers.
Okay,
you do you. I know I sound crazy, but when he doesn't do it, it ticks me off. And
we all have our things.
Yes, mine sounds utterly insufferable. But I say, you're an employer's dream. Like, you do your job really well for your boss. I don't want to be your boss, even slightly. But it's like, if you started at a new job and they taught you the operations and the systems of how something's done, Rebs is laughing at me.
I'm smiling. No, but I'm hearing you.
Yeah, it's like,
you would just comply.
You would just do it.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying and I get it. It's just like, it's still a mental load to find the way that works to speak to him and all these things. And that's fine. You have to do it. Like, you do it. What's the alternative?
I think that's our burden as millennial mums.
Yeah.
I just do.
Yeah, I know. I agree. Theoretically, it's not fair and too much. But in practice, what else are you going to do? You have to find a way to communicate. And hopefully he'll find a way to communicate to you too.
I sound like I was being patronizing.
No, babe, it's your CEO household. It works for you guys. This is the thing. You've got to find something that works for you guys.
Yes, and we went through so much trial and error.
Yes.
Like, I tried list writing via text.
And it didn't work for either of you.
It didn't work for us. We tried the, on this day, you empty the dishwasher on that. You know, it didn't work.
No.
We found our thing. And it does require both of you wanting.
That's it.
That's the issue.
And what I want to say on that is, I think there's a lot of romanticizing and a lot of language around, quote unquote, fighting for your marriage.
Mm.
Sometimes you have to accept some people will not fight. They don't have it in them. They don't want to. They don't know how, or they're not capable. And maybe that is, you're in the wrong relationship.
Mm.
Because there are some things, like, think about your children. You would do anything. You would fight tooth and nail if it was about, like, keeping that relationship, you know, or like doing something for your children's well-being and the survival of the relationship with your child. You would. You know you would. You don't even have to think. So I think there's often a clue in someone's willingness to, quote unquote, fight for the relationship. The amount of effort that you're willing to put in is directly correlated to what you'll get back, but also if it's right for you. So I just think there's a clue in that. And fighting looks different for everyone.
It does.
You know, some people, there's a lot of bluster and a lot of passion and energy and feeling, but they're not fighting for the relationship. They're fighting for themselves.
Do you know what I think is particularly challenging with communication? And I was chatting with a friend very recently, you know, she was divulging to me some challenges that she's having in her relationship, completely normal stuff. But when she is trying to express a way that she needs support from her husband, he analyzes her tone and takes offense to that.
Yep.
And I honestly, I wanted to tear my hair out on her behalf because it's so unproductive.
It's also mean.
It is mean because, you know, she had to say to him, look, I feel like you're sitting here worrying about how I'm communicating, but you're not actually listening to what my needs are.
Yeah.
It's like a diversion.
Well, it
is. It's deflecting around the issue. It's absolute deflection tactics and she can achieve nothing because of it. And I think you've got to call out your partner on that. And you almost have to say it from the head. I'm not interested in fighting about tone or how something's communicated. I'm going to remove tone. I'll be monotone. If you read into it, it's not there. Mm. I'm just going to state facts.
Yeah.
And this is the thing, DL's like, We are not taught how to communicate with people. And some people are not good communicators.
And some people are not meant to be.
They're not incompatible.
They're incompatible communicators.
Yeah.
That's another way we change. We don't have the nice tone as we get older, particularly as women, because we've had enough of being good, polite girls. We're not always going to dress it up nicely for you. We're not always going to have the right words. Sometimes we're just going to drop our bundle and be like, I'm done with this.
Yeah.
And the right partner for you will be like, I see you, babe. You're not coping. You don't have to wrap this up in a pretty bow and present this to me in a way that's palatable to me because I'm not precious and I'm in this relationship. Yeah, you know what I mean?
But like, Revsy, sometimes you need a third party person.
Yes. But what's the other thing?
To remove, cut the fat.
Yeah.
Remove the bullshit from the chat and get to the root of the issue.
So you're talking about couples therapy.
I am talking about couples therapy.
If it is available to you and you have the means,
do it.
Do it.
Yeah. I think what's rough as well is if you're in a partnership where your partner won't do it.
Yeah.
I think there's a clue in that as well, going back to the willing to fight for your marriage or your relationship. You know, if your child expressed to you that they are struggling mentally with mental health issues and the answer is a psychologist, you would say yes as a parent. You wouldn't go, no, I'm not going to support that. It's a tough one.
On the fighting thing as well, as in like fighting for the marriage, that doesn't mean fighting to keep it together come what may. I think fighting for the relationship is let's do the work to make sure you are good in this relationship and I am good in this relationship and that we are doing well together, that we are finding the ease and the flow together. Not like I'm fighting to make sure we never break up.
Totally. Yeah. I think there is a difference.
There's a difference.
Because one version of fighting for our marriage is we suffered through it and we came out the other
end. But that's what you do. You don't break up. You just stay together for the kids.
I think that's bullshit.
I do too.
I think the alternative fighting is actually two people willing to compromise, meet each other halfway, understand and learn more about each other.
And yourself.
Yes.
If you're asking your partner to do that deep inner work you got to do it too. Mm. Like you can't be like, I'm perfect and over here knowing exactly what needs to be done, but you've got so much shit to work on. You've got to do it as well. Mm-hmm. And you've got to go, oh, maybe that's my blind spot or maybe I'm this. Or like, yeah, that's what I would see as fighting for a relationship is going, how can I be better?
Mm.
Me? So I'm better with you. And then everybody wins. Fuck, the kids win big time.
100p.
The kids can only benefit from you being a better version of yourself.
Always. And to bring it back to our DL and what she wrote, one thing I really respected is that they sat down and said, we're both unhappy.
Mm,
and I think that is huge because I check in with my husband all the time. Are you happy?
Mm.
Are we happy? Can we fix the scale of this happiness?
Mm.
What do we need to bring back to ourselves or to each other? What do you need to fill your cup more? Mm. Here's what I need to fill my cup more. And just hearing each other out.
You know how they say you're only as happy as your unhappiest child?
Mm-hmm.
That is so true for your romantic relationship. The relationship is only as good as the unhappiest person in it.
Yes.
You know, it doesn't matter if one person's like, you're the love of my life. I'm stoked. Everything's perfect. I never want to lose you. You're it for me. If the other person's like, well, actually,
I'm halfway out the
door. You can't force the halfway out the door person to just feel lucky and grateful that they've got someone who loves them so much. That's not how relationships work.
And you can't compromise yourself to a point where you're like, I'll do whatever to keep them at all costs.
Yeah.
Because that's not serving you. Man, relationships are hard.
Yes, they are.
I want to make our DL feel seen. Like, you know what? I don't have time for what having kids does to your marriage either.
No.
It's completely changed the shape of our relationship. I mean, Hubs and I, we've learned so much about ourselves and each other. We've gone through really challenging seasons. We've had to learn to communicate with each other.
Yeah.
But it can be done.
It absolutely can be done.
But it really does boil down to a willingness from both sides.
Agree. Hard agree.
Wow, that was a big bestie hotline, and I'm sure there's so much more we could unpack in this chat. DLs, if any of you recognize what this DL has gone through and you've come out the other side, whatever that looks like, whatever changes that brought on in the shape of your family, or perhaps it kept the family unit together as one and it's just shifted into a slightly different form, Can you share with us your experience and what helped get you to the other side?
Yeah. No one's situation is going to be the same, but just hearing these stories, it is so undiscussed. Mm-hmm. No one talks about this stuff. Everyone is so worried and full of shame over any kind of relationship failure. I know I certainly was, but I also know there's so much power in identification and seeing yourself in other people and knowing, no, not every other couple is just living this perfect life that you haven't managed to pull off. We all have challenges and it's fucking okay.
And you know what? To the people who are killing it in their marriage and don't feel even a slight shift in their relationship with having kids, good on you.
Yeah, happy for you. Congrats. You won the romance lottery
you
should enjoy and love and feel every corner of that beautiful thing.
Absolutely. You lucked out.
We love you guys.
Have a wonderful weekend ahead. And as always, we'll be back in your ears bright and early on Tuesday morning.
See you then.
Bye-bye.
Bye.